Well, time now to help you out at this time of the week with the Doomben 10,000. It'll be a final field of 16 when it's announced at this time tomorrow. Obviously, a lot of discussion on the favourites, including Shikandi, trained by Kieran Maher. Kieran, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew.
Mate, a few nervous little times after her last run. How's she been?
Yeah, she seems good. She's had that last week. She had an easy gallop on Saturday morning. And we give her a strong gallop this morning over at Doomben. She worked with one of Matt Laurie's horses, and the work was quite strong, and I was happy with her.
Just take us back to the last run there in the BTC Cup. Always well back after. What do you think happened at the start? You there, Kieran?
She reared and jumped in the air.
Yep.
And like a 1,200-metre race around Doomben, your race is over, especially at that level.
Yeah, exactly. She came through it okay, condition-like with her body?
She was a little bit tender. Just had, I suppose she jumped so awkward, it wasn't a total surprise. Chiropractor Mick Bryant went over, and she got ultrasounded for a few days, and she seems fine now. As I said, her work was up to standard this morning.
I guess that's really what you want to see in a testing gallop, that she's out there and she's back to full health, 100% sound, ready to go.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Yeah. You mentioned you haven't done a lot with her. You've explained how she came out of a last run, but is she a mare? I know she's a big size of a mare, but does she like that fresh side of it as well, that you don't want to give her too much work?
She's pretty straightforward, really. She come up here last year off the back of a fair campaign, and she raced up here. She had a long sort of campaign, so her fresh form's good. Her firm later in her preparations is good. She's fairly versatile.
Well, that's the main thing, because Doomben, we've been much discussed that we're at the one track this winter, aren't we, at Doomben?
Yeah, well, in most of her races, she normally bounces and puts herself pretty prominent up in the front of the field. So, you would think, her form, she's been to Doomben a couple of times and raced well. So, I thought that she wouldn't really mind that. So hopefully she can begin like she normally does and bounce back to her form.
Let's hope so. Damien Brown stays on there?
Yep.
Yeah, beautiful. He knows Doomben, and he's getting to know the mare. Thanks a lot, Kieran. Just thought we'd update out of that last run on how she is, but you sound excited, or pretty excited, after that gallop this morning.
Yeah, no, all's good. So hopefully she pulls up well this afternoon, and we should be onwards and upwards for the weekend.
Good on you, Kieran. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Kieran Maher joining us there from Brisbane with the latest on Shikandi. Sacred Star, we mentioned last week they missed out on the first acceptances when the Tony Pike stable rushed off to the races. Let's get the latest here on this horse lining up as a maybe late entry in the race. Morning to you, Tony.
Morning, Andrew.
Tony, are you in Brisbane?
Yeah, I'm in Brisbane. I came over for the weekend, and we're going to probably stay through the week this week.
Okay. What's the latest with the horse, Sacred Star?
Yeah, look, I couldn't be happier with the way he's responded to treatment. He seems 100% sound now. He galloped this morning at Doomben. He worked well, although the track was probably a bit wetter than what he likes. But pretty happy with the way he's pulled up. And, we'll make a final decision tomorrow morning. I'll have a trot in Canada tomorrow. And if we're 100% happy with him tomorrow, then we'll pay up the late entry fee.
As it stands right now, you're very happy?
Yeah, very happy with him. He's pulled up good from this morning's gallop, and as long as nothing goes wrong in the next 24 hours, we'll be paying the late entry fee for Saturday.
You missed out on running in the BTC Cup with that stone bruise. You told us last week, beach and a bit of dirt work. The horses responded well to that?
Yeah, he's responded. He came right pretty quickly, so we're not quite sure what happened on the Saturday, whether he rolled on a stone and just bruised his foot up, or what exactly did happen, but he came sound within sort of 3 to 4 days. He was 100% sound, and hasn't put a foot wrong since. So hopefully that's behind us and we can just on to the next two.
Does it at all worry you that you missed that run going to a tough Doomben 10,000?
Oh, look, it's probably never ideal, but he's a horse that's always gone well fresh and had a good solid hit out this morning and pulled up relatively clean. So being a horse that's very good fresh, I still think he'll run well Saturday, and obviously the run should improve him a touch for the Stradbroke in 2 weeks.
I know, and I explained it there when you were coming online, Tony, that it was a case of simply missing the first acceptances last Wednesday. The group of you all rushed off to early races and you just missed it.
Yeah, it was just one of those unfortunate things. Obviously, we work on a different system back at home than they do here in Australia. And, we're back home and, it's never easy going over and back between countries. And we had runners early that day and, look, it just got completely missed. It was just an oversight and, unfortunate. But, that's in the past now, so we just have to move on.
Okay, so if you pay up tomorrow, Zach comes over to take the ride, Zach Purton.
Yeah, Zach's obviously got a number of rides on Saturday by the sounds of things, so he'll be over for Saturday and looks like he'll be down for Stradbroke as well.
All right, we'll wait for tomorrow morning, but it sounds likely that it will be a late entry, at least as it stands right now, and easily makes the field in the prize money level. It would come in as spot number 9 or 10, would easily make the field. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Thanks, Andrew.
Tony Pike there. Now, this is the field that I've got at the moment. They run 16 in the Doomben 10,000. You can take out the horses Elma's Fury, De Heros, Hidden Warrior, and we're about to be joined by a trainer that probably will tell us they're not going to run, but we'll get confirmation of that in a moment. So the likely 16 as it stands right now would be Temple of Boom, Boban, Fina, Bring Me the Maid, Noidart, Big Money, Sekendi, Sacred Star, Scissor Kick, Our Boy Malachi, General Liffey, Charlie Boy, Time for War, Rock Sturdy, Neo, and Flamingo Star, the new horse for Chris Wather. That would be, as it stands right now, putting Sacred Star in, that would be the 16. Night Rocker would be first emergency. Let's clarify the picture with a horse I didn't mention there, El Rocker. Trent Bussenden is joining us. Morning to you, Trent.
Morning, Andrew. How's things?
Very well. You've been sort of playing away a little bit since that first up run with El Rocker. How do you feel he's going, and what's your thoughts about the 10,000?
The original plan was obviously to run first up and then go two weeks into the 10,000 and the Stradbroke. Sort of threw a spanner in the works and racing the way he did. He had a tough run three wide, and but the concerning thing was he dropped out of it very quickly. He balanced up and didn't kick at all. Would have been understandable if he'd gone for 100 metres and then got tired with the run he had and circumstances, but he sort of stopped very quickly. So he had a quiet week last week, took bloods off him and just ticked him over. He galloped this morning at the Gold Coast and galloped extremely well. We're very happy with him. And we scoped him straight after the race, after the gallop, sorry, and the scope was clear. And we just dragged the blood first thing this morning off him, and I'm waiting for the blood results. But probably, without completely ruling it out, we've got till tomorrow to make our mind up, and probably leaning towards going to the QTC sprint next week instead.
Okay, you'd love to still make the Stradbroke, I guess, just talking to you, but it's how you get there, whether it be Saturday or the QTC Cup.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I know we were 13th or 14th in order in the race last week, and I think we're round about in the same place. So just wary of the fact that a couple of horses might jump in front of them, or the Stradbroke might have a bit more depth, and we might question mark to make the field. But if he was to win the BTC or the QTC race next week, it's exempt from balance.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if he wasn't winning that race, well, it's hard to see him winning a Stradbroke, so it'd sort of take care of itself one way or the other.
Understand. Listening to you there, though, the key words galloped extremely well at the Gold Coast. He's doing well on the training track for you.
Yeah, like that was the worry last week. I've been wrecked with them all preparation. Obviously, you've got that question mark. Do they come back from a long layoff? And while he was lacking in fitness, he was still always going to go a good race, and he didn't do that. So that's obviously never good. but like I say, he galloped up very well. We've ironed out a couple of little things that after the race, so I'm pretty confident wherever he races next start, he'll show a true account of himself.
All right, we'll wait on a final decision by this time tomorrow morning. Acceptance is taken at 9 tomorrow morning for the Doomben 10,000. Thanks a lot, Trent. We'll chat off air tomorrow morning and tell our listeners what's going on.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, Andrew.
Trent Busserton there. So you would say at this stage, leaning against, so that's 16 that I've given you, unless there's a change, I think they're the ones that will line up. There's a stack of Trackwork news out of the other runners this morning. I'll run through in any no particular order here. Bring Me the Maid. Peter Moody was in Brisbane yesterday and watched her gallop. Very happy there. Time for War for Stuart Kendrick. Ran second at the Sunshine Coast on Saturday. Hasn't left a note since and very bright this morning. Stuart will have Neo also lining up in the Doomben 10,000. Rock Sturdy galloped well this morning. Tim Bell will take over the ride on Saturday after Huey rode in the BRC sprint last time. So Tim Bell on to Rock Sturdy. Charlie Boy, very well in condition, galloped this morning, and they'd love a similar barrier to the other day, Barrier 2, when it won there the Brisbane Racing Club sprint. Temple of Boom continues to please. Scissor Kick's doing well. This morning, the Godolphin horses, General Liffey, worked at Warwick Farm on the course proper, and Noidart, who of course is already in Brisbane, worked Sariovo out wide on the course proper, and everything's going to plan there. We'll talk to Bernie Cooper a little while later about that. What else have we got here from a 10,000 point of view? Big Money, Rod Northam told me this morning, her horse worked very well and is right on target with fitness levels definitely improved going into the Doomben 10,000. So there's a bit of news for you for that race. Now, the other key news, just before we're joined by Brett Kavanagh, is in regard to the Group 1 JJ Atkins. A market is there with TAB. That will change with the news that Sempra Libera, a nice two-year-old filly for Gabe Waterhouse, has been sent to the spelling paddock after finishing off really strongly in the Champagne at Doomben. That's the plan. Sempra Libera, who was a $6.50 favourite for the JJ Atkins, won't run again in Brisbane. And Holler is going to trial on Friday at Randwick, but is unlikely to line up in the JJ Atkins. So expect a market shuffle there with the news that the favourite is out of the JJ Atkins. Just before I move on to Brett Kavanagh, that 16 as it stands right now for the Doomben 10,000 would be Temple of Boom, Boban, Fontalina, Bring Me the Maid, Noidart, Big Money, Sikandi, Sacred Star would be a late entry at this stage. Scissor Kick, Our Boy Malachi, General Liffey, Charlie Boy, Time for War, Rock Sturdy, Neo and Flamingo Star. As it stands right now, I haven't put El Rocker in, and that would have Night Rocker first emergency. So that's the latest on the 10,000. Final field out tomorrow morning. Well, what a Saturday it was at Scone for Albury trainer Brett Kavanagh. He joins us back home at Albury. Morning to you, Brett.
Hey, Hoss.
Great celebrations for all the owners. In some way, great sadness too, with, I know, a relative of the owners passing away recently. That made it probably extra emotional there on the weekend that she wasn't there, but it was just a day that I know the stable will celebrate for a while.
Yeah, look, it was just a good result, full stop. You know, we aimed at filly at some big targets, and I taxed her from the championship to the guineas at Albury and then back to the championships. So she just kept delivering. It was good. We went to Scone a week early, settled in, and to be quite honest, Andrew, she done that well while I was in Scone. And young Daniel Northey was riding the work, and we had to gallop her on Friday to get her back within herself. She was just getting over the top on me, which is something that you don't normally do, but I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't done that. I just had to knock the edge off her. She was too fresh.
Yeah. Well, she showed that brilliant turn of speed that we've seen in her races there. I was watching it with the group from Sky, and I said, is a horse won from the inside yet at about the 800? Because that was the way you were going to win, wasn't it? If you were going to win, was Richard Bensley was going to come up the inside. And, gee, she showed that turn of speed.
Yeah, she put him away quick, and at the 800 when they bunched up and he got onto their back. And and then when he straightened up, he went to give Sure and Fast a bit of a nudge, I think, to try and poke him out, and he wasn't going anywhere, and I thought, well, where are we going here? And then the next minute it opened up like the heavens, so it was pretty exciting to watch, and she basically, you know, she just cantered around behind him, sprinted past him, and she pricked her ears on the line, so she made it look pretty easy, and she broke 123, so everything added up to be a pretty good win.
Yeah, for sure. I know you've got a good opinion of her, and I know there were options of Brisbane and whatever, but you've decided to spell her?
Probably not as much as a spell, but she'll have a freshen up and probably be ready for Caulfield early in the spring. I don't know how deep she could get into a spring carnival, but it'd be nice just to get a little bit more black type alongside of her. But probably the cheapest way to do that is use the base fitness that she's got and be ready in August.
Yeah, for sure. And those, you know, sprint races or whatever you've got in mind, those three-year-old fillies races in the spring, they're nice types of races, aren't they?
Yeah, probably. She'll probably be a four-year-old mare.
Four-year-old mare by then, yeah, August, yeah. Yeah, so, but even at that, she's got that fitness, hasn't she?
Yeah, exactly. You know, she just, you know, I had her screwed down pretty much for that race, and she was getting above herself, you know, leading into it. And I had to give her a bit of work on the Friday, and when she worked over half a mile on the Friday and never had a blow, you know, I went, Jesus, what have I done? What am I doing here, you know? But anyway, and then when they come out with the trial for the second horse around one, Gina, who's going to England, so
yep.
I thought I'll just regroup and bring her home rather than go to Queensland. There was only one suitable race, that was probably the Guineas. If it was at Eagle Farm, I probably would have been there, but it's at Doomben, and I decided to come home. She travelled home. She's done well. So she'll probably go down to Rockmount.
Yep.
And have a couple of weeks there, box rest in and out. And that's what we've done with her leading into this prep for a freshen up. So it worked last time, so we won't change it much.
And the relationship, it's been well documented with jockey Richard Bensley, who I'll say is no relative, but on Saturday he was, when he celebrated the success.
There's a lot of jockeys in Australia that just don't get exposed because they don't get on the horses, and he's one of them, you know. I can remember Peter Roble in the back of the truck going to the Neliquin on Anzac Day, you know.
Yeah.
And next minute he was on, just got on a roll and got on the right horses, and unfortunately Pete got hurt, but Richie's probably one they spied. There was a few of the bigger trainers had a bit of a yarn to me about him on Saturday night, so I don't think he'll be riding at the non-tabs on Saturday. He's probably a chance to kick at the provincials.
Well, he's had a cracking time, not only with you, but just riding. And I know Art Lee was a surprise, you know, when Mitchell Bell suffered the hand injury that he jumped on. But that was his 50th win for the season. He's teamed up with so many trainers, but he's won the Flat Knacker, he's won Scone, he's won at races of Wagga during the carnival. He's certainly made a fist of it over the last little while, not only for you. A great deal of those wins have been with you, but with other trainers. And he's certainly got a future ahead, as has Loved Up. Well done to you, Brett. I know a lot of effort goes into travelling a horse up and the others. The Monster ran pretty good.
Yeah, but someone said, I thought they only ran a class record, but someone told me they showed the track record.
Yeah, no, they did run a track record in the last there.
You know, he's gone pretty good. He'll be just aimed at Scone and hopefully a sweat, and he'll go around in the Topaz. That'll be his plan, and we'll go from there. One thing about that Richie Bensley, we went out on Saturday night and he went straight back to the Wranglers and the check shirt. I couldn't get that out of him winning a listed race. Didn't worry him, mate. It's still the same Richie.
Still got the boot, the country boots on, has he?
Yeah. Can't take the country out of him.
No, he's a good bloke, though. Well done to you, Brett.
See you, mate, boy.
Brett Kavanagh joining us from Albury. So Loved Up, freshen up, no Brisbane, and goes to Melbourne. Bjorn Baker joins us to talk about this three-year-old chestnut filly, Sabrina. Morning to you, Bjorn.
Morning, Andrew.
I note that you've got her entered for both Sydney and Brisbane on the weekend. What are you thinking there at this stage?
Oh, we'll just see how the barrier draws come out, and we can. It's a little bit of a tight schedule with Saturday into the Oaks a week later. So if it's suitable, we will. If she draws well in Brisbane, I think we'll probably go up there. But if not, we've got the options to stay back here as well.
Okay, so sounds like an acceptance for both, and watch for the barriers. How do you feel she's going with the obvious goal being the Queensland Oaks?
Oh, I think she's a very good filly. We'll yet see the best of her. Her work's been very good since her last run. I think she's come on again. I'm really looking forward to this weekend and definitely going on to the Oaks. I think she's a very good filly. We yet see the best.
people might say she only won by a length the other day, but she showed that burst of speed that you want to see in these races, the way she came off the pace.
Yeah, she did indeed. I thought it was a good effort. She was second up over a mile, so it was always going to be a little bit of a question mark. She actually got a cut in the paddock,
right,
which has probably put us a little bit behind in terms of this preparation we would like to be. So we've been playing catch-up a little bit, and I think Saturday's their first chance to be back on even terms.
Okay, so it sounds like she's really pleasing you at the training track. So it'll come down. It's unusual this year when we've got the Roses this week and then the Oaks the 7 day backup.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I think the quick backups, especially for these fillies, can be very much a positive. You see it in Melbourne every year with the Wakefield Stakes. And, of course, the first and third horses in the ATC Oaks this year, of course, ran on the Monday before the Oaks, and one of them was Candelara,
yep,
which won on the Monday and then came out and ran third in the Oaks, so, as well as the winner. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it'll top her off nicely for the Oaks the week after.
Righto, that's Sabrina. We'll wait for the final fields tomorrow. Ruby LaRouge runs out at Cessnock today.
Yeah, she's got ability. I think she's a good chance. She's got a stack of speed, so she should be able to put herself right there. I wouldn't be surprised to see her salute.
All right, that's in the first race at 12:28, race 1, number 8. Thanks to y'all, Lock Bjorn. We'll see what you do with Sabrina during the week.
Brilliant. Thanks, Andrew.
Bjorn Baker there with the latest on a nice filly. Just in regard to the fillies too in the Queensland Oaks, John Sargent's confirmed this morning Swift Lady and Champion Stage are the two that are focusing in at this stage on the Oaks on Saturday week. Military Lady's going to run in a benchmark 2,000-metre race at Randwick on Saturday, but at this stage, confirmation that Swift Lady and Champion Stage run in the Oaks. The other key news for the Oaks is on Winx. Much discussion yesterday on Punters Postmortem about plans with Winx. Chris Waller has told me this morning that the whole preparation has been set around the Queensland Oaks. That's where she'll run next. There's no thought of lining up the week after in the Queensland Guineas. At this stage, if she runs and hopefully wins for the owners, the Group 1 Queensland Oaks, it would be a good spell and be aimed towards the Meyer Classic in Melbourne. But at this stage, the whole prep for Winx has been all around the Queensland Oaks. 24-10.